Greetings to everyone here this morning in Jesus' name. Precious name of Jesus. Welcome to all. Good to look into your faces again. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let's go into the house of the Lord." Been inspired with the study and look at Rahab and her faith, and it just always blesses me. And it was mentioned in the Sunday school class of Rahab's place in the line of Jesus, in Jesus' lineage, as one of those Gentile women that God accepted, and as they gave themselves in faith, they could be part of God's people. And it's no different. No different today for us. That is, by faith we receive the gift. We can be part of God's family. We accept. You can open your Bibles with me this morning to Psalm 100. I'd like to thank for a message this morning about Thanksgiving. And this week, of course, we know is our Thanksgiving Day. And we should count it a privilege that we live in a country that has set aside a national holiday, a national day of giving of thanks. that's a blessing that we should thank God for as part of the heritage of the people who settled this country. It's unique. Thanksgiving. And I think, as I observe the march of the seasons, and you can see it happening in the retail world. Before we're even finished with one season, the goods are out for the next season. The retailers are of course in business, and they need consumers. They need consumers to purchase their goods and their services. But it seems as if Thanksgiving is one that kind of gets hopped over, as you see the Halloween candy and decorations and all the costumes, and just as soon as that's over with, there's all the Christmas decorations. Well, it's right and good that we pay special attention to this, to Thanksgiving. Let's be careful that the mentality of our society doesn't pull us away from that and thanking God. I'd like to read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Just using that as an introduction to our thoughts this morning, and I'm thankful. I don't know what inspired or how God led that we have this verse over the entrance to our meeting house. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Certainly as we come before God in worship, That's so much in order. So much in order that we come with thanksgiving. And thank you for the poetry here on the whiteboard this morning. Praise to God, immortal praise. Well, I'd like to use the word thank you as the guide for my outline this morning. That's a common word, thank you. We all know what it means. When I was in business, I learned that that's one of the easiest ways to build rapport with your customers is to tell them thank you. The easiest way to establish a relationship with them is to tell them thank you. Sending out thank you cards. And you see it often on invoices, thank you. It's an established fact. And perhaps, I would say that I did it sometimes as I was thankful for their business, and yet maybe I did it more as a way to, as somewhat of a selfish thing. And yet, as we sought the Lord in our business to send us customers, we would often ask him to do that. And I think it was a way, I believe it's a way of showing our thanks to God as well, as we thank other people and use that word thank you. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Well, let's look at our first point, which is thanksgiving. And I'm just simply using that to talk about the word a little bit. Saying thank you is thanksgiving. It's an act. Thanksgiving is an act. I looked it up in the dictionary to see what was there, and thanksgiving is given in three definitions. It's an act. It's an act of saying thanks, saying thank you. That's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is also a prayer. Primarily prayer to God. Thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is a public acknowledgement. So as we do that, as we do the act in a, it's something that people can see a lot of times. Our prayers, our public prayers, should always, I believe, have thanksgiving in them. And our public acknowledgement, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But in our lives, let's do that. Let's give public acknowledgement of our thanks to God. For the H, I think as we think about Thanksgiving, the day of Thanksgiving, our mind goes back to the days of the pilgrims and they're the ones that initiated this and first had this day set aside. And it was primarily a day to thank God for the harvest that he had given them. They were so dependent upon that. They were so dependent upon a crop. In this, the new land that they had come to, they had no other resources. Not that they could count on anyway. Many miles of water between them and their home country, and the Indians the Indians that lived in their land, they had not established much of a relationship with them. So they were so dependent on this harvest, and it seems to me that that the harvest in thanksgiving and in our thankfulness, that the harvest part for me is something that I can just so soon minimize. It seems so elementary. And yet when you think about it, what do we depend on for survival? It's food. It's the harvest. I think that's a downside of not being a farmer, of getting away from agriculture in our, you know, in our work, in our lives. We can be disconnected from that fact, and we just take for granted that there's going to be food on the shelves of the grocery store. The harvest. God, in the Old Testament, many times would bring famine to people that were straying away from Him. That took away their harvest. Crop failure. And sometimes God gave warnings to His people that be careful, because I can set this up so that what you plant will be more than what you actually harvest. Now, you plant a bushel of seed and you expect to reap a harvest. You expect an increase. And so, for the A here in thank you, let's look at awareness. As you think about the harvest, let's increase our awareness of our dependence upon God. You know, the delicate balance of sunshine and rain that it takes for a harvest. There's not much tolerance in that. I don't think in my time that I've seen widespread crop failure like some people have in their day. And perhaps we're not as affected by it in the global economy that we live in. And so it's easy for us to forget how dependent we are. Now, the world's food supply is limited. Yes, we know. We're traveling out west, and you look at the huge elevators, you know, the grain silos, the grain bins, you know, hundreds of thousands of bushels. And yet the supply is limited. And would soon be depleted if there was not a continual harvest. We're so dependent upon, and let's think about this a little bit. Yes, we're dependent upon the balance of sunshine and rain, but we're also dependent on God providing the right conditions in temperature, and we've mentioned sunlight already, and moisture, but in the soil. Temperature of the soil, the right amount of daylight, all those things, we're just dependent upon the right conditions that God gives for even to cultivate, even to till the ground, prepare for planting. And we're dependent upon, you know, in a wet spring. You know, the farmers can't get into the field, no matter how much they want to. They're just dependent upon the right conditions to be out, get out there with especially the large equipment that we have today to be able to plant a crop, the acres and acres that need to be planted. We're dependent upon the right conditions for the germination and the growth. You know, for that seed to germinate and to sprout, roots going down, plant coming up. We're dependent upon that. We're dependent, of course, upon the right conditions, the insects, the temperature for the pollination. That's so important in the plants, in producing fruit, in producing a harvest, the pollination and the fertilization. And we're dependent upon the right conditions for, after that happens, is for the developing and the ripening of the fruit. And the Bible says that, you know, somewhat without thought, the farmers and us, we can go out and plant the seed, and we give no thought to how it all happens. Let's not do that. As we plant our gardens, as we plant our fields, or food plots, or whatever you're planting, as that seed sprouts, germinates and sprouts and grows, let's thank God for that. There's so little that we can do. And in the awareness, as we think more about this, let's teach it to our children and build their awareness. I think the other thing that Thanksgiving and building our awareness should do is help us to recognize the stewardship of the earth that God has given us. You know, God, when he created Adam and Eve and he placed them in the garden, he gave them dominion, Genesis 1 says. And they were to subdue the earth. They were to be stewards of what God created. Even to dress it and to keep it. And after the fall, of course, that wasn't as pleasant, because there was a lot of sweat. It was work. But still, there's rewards there. And let's recognize our stewardship as our awareness grows, and may our thanksgiving arise to God. You know, I thought about it when this fall we went on the school hike, and I think I mentioned to my wife as we were walking through the woods that there was a sadness as I walked past all of these plants, and I didn't know what they were, and I didn't know what value they could be to me. But God has given all these things for us, for our use, for our benefit. And so as God directs you, find out some things. Our place where we live has lots of walnut trees on it. And I've just been inspired again with the harvest that God gives. There's a lot more walnuts there than the squirrels can eat that are on our property. I haven't studied into walnuts a lot, but there's a lot of value there, a lot of use besides food. A man told me that he doesn't, and some of you cattlemen may know this, but he simply takes walnuts and puts them into the water trough for his cows in the fall, and they drink that walnut stained water, if you will, and it's a dewormer. And I was just amazed by that. So there's so much that we can learn as we build our awareness of what God has given us. Well, I think as we build our awareness, that brings me to the K, and that is, I'm using the word kneel or kneeling, and I'm thinking of the thought of prayer. Humble supplication, not only do we need to build our awareness of, and be thankful, but we need to ask God for wisdom and ask him for direction in being good stewards. And as we do that, we acknowledge our insufficiency. We acknowledge our own need of God, of his wisdom. You know, if we come in humble supplication, it's like someone in that attitude is like a beggar. No resources of our own, dependent upon someone else, dependent upon someone else's kindness. Psalm 95 says this, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. There's something now to explore. And he made it. He made the sea. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That's echoing what we read in Psalm 100. God made us. He gave us intelligence. He gave us our intellect. He gave us the curiosity to want to discover things. He gave us the ability to manage. Let's ask him to lead that. George Washington Carver, African-American who studied, among many plants, he studied the peanut. And he was asking God for something to help the farmers of the South, because they just grew cotton and their land was depleted. And they didn't rotate. George Washington Carver, in his quest for that, God led him to the peanut. And he discovered many, many uses for the peanut. And it was a plant that could build the soil back up after they had planted cotton. They could plant peanuts. But prayer for George Washington Carver was the way that he discovered things. Kneel before the Lord our Maker in humble supplication. Let's even ask God how we can teach our children to build their awareness, to help them discover what God would have them to do in life with their talents, with their energy. Well, that brings us to the why. To the you part of the word, thank you. But to the why, I simply have the word yield. Maybe it's a little bit. I think Brother Anthony this morning in his devotions has touched on my thought a little bit here with that thing of commit. And as if we're going to commit ourselves to Christ, we have to yield. And the thought was that he gave, I believe, was in trust. There's a commitment to trust. It takes a commitment. So in all of this, God doesn't guarantee that we'll always have a fruitful harvest. So we need to yield ourselves to whatever he, in his providence, in his sovereignty, allows into our lives. And that yielding takes trust in him. We have to trust that all things do work together for good to them who love God. Psalm 37, verse 5. You can turn with me to this. This has the word commit. Psalm 37. We'll start reading at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So as we give up ourselves to God, we yield to him, we commit ourselves, and we trust in him. What is he asking from us? He's asking an offering from us, is he? That's what I've used for the O in you. Offer. Romans 12:1 says that we need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I believe the one song that we sang this morning touched on that in all of these things, there's nothing more that God's interested in than one soul, one person that offers themselves to him. So we want to offer our bodies to God in a living sacrifice. Like that's you know, sacrifices in the Old Testament were had no choice. The animals had no choice whether they would be a sacrifice or not, but we do. And that's what brings the glory to God. That's why that's so important to him. It is giving him more praise than all the things that his creation does, the animals and the birds and the trees and the plants. Also, in our offering, we have something that we can offer to others. We know, of course, that we can be that man with the gospel message in his pickup window. I appreciated that thought this morning, and you know, have we lost something in our community, our congregation here? Are we the congregation of the gospel signs? I know there's gospel signs in our community, but how many of them are at the end of our driveways? I don't have one at the end of my driveway. I don't have a bumper sticker on my car. But let's offer. I challenge myself with that. I think it's been something that I've thought of now and again, but just recently I've been impressed and God, I believe, is speaking to me about that. I can tell you how to find eternal life. I can tell you what eternal life is. That's an offering. That's love. We offer love to others, and we offer them We share, don't we? We offer them food. We help them. That certainly is part of what we offer. It's number 581 here in the church hymnal. But the thought in this song, it's the title is "O Lord of Heaven and Earth and Sea" by Christopher Wordsworth. He says, "O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to thee all praise and glory be. How shall we show our love to thee, who givest all? For peaceful homes and healthful days, for all the blessings earth displays, we owe thee thankfulness and praise, who givest all. Thou didst not spare thine only Son, but gavest him for a world undone, and freely with that blessed one thou givest all. Whatever, Lord, we lend to thee, repaid a thousandfold will be, then gladly will we give to thee who givest all, to thee from whom we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. O may we ever with thee live who givest all." Inspired with those words, and the thought that I especially that first came to me, or that I first saw in these words, is verse 4, where it talks about being repaid when we lend to God. There's a verse in Proverbs 19:17. You can turn with me to that verse, Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Again, that's where the thoughts of the poet spring from. Lending or having pity upon the poor is lending to God. And Luke 6, verse 35. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, the words of Jesus. He says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." What a merciful God. Let's be part of that. That's love. And also in our offering, there is a courteousness that we need to express. That as we offer, especially materially, and even in offering salvation, that we would be courteous with the people that we talk to. That courteousness that's born out of love, out of caring for them. Not that we're trying to earn merits. You know, Jesus said that if a man has a servant, if he has a servant, which that word in the New Testament means slave, he has a slave that's worked all day in the field, and then he comes in from the field in the evening, and it's his responsibility to serve his master supper. And then, of course, he after that, his master is fed, then he eats as well. And Jesus said, does that man thank him? Does the master thank his servant for doing that? No, he doesn't. Because it's just expected of him. He's a slave, right? He's expected of him to serve without thanks. So in our serving others, let's don't do it out of a heart that it's just our duty to do. That servant that does it just out of duty, he don't enjoy it. He's just wishing all the time that he could eat himself. But let's do it out of a love for God. And that makes it a joy. The other thing on that story that Jesus told is that what do we communicate to God when we forget to thank Him? Are we communicating that it's God's duty to serve us? Think about that. You know, I don't think any of us would say it's God's duty to serve us. But think about that if we don't thank God, we are, in a way, communicating that, well, God owes us what He gives us. That's part of the awareness, building the awareness. God's not just doing His duty to keep all things in balance, keeping the earth on its rotation, its orbit around the sun, keeping the moon so it doesn't get too close to the earth and make those tides too high and flood the cities on the seashores. The Psalm 10 talks of the wicked. Let's just turn to that. Psalm 10. The wicked do not offer to God. They don't offer themselves. They don't offer their possessions that they're stewards of. Psalm 10. Verse 1. Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in their devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Just, you know, that consumer mentality, that covetous thing, those covetous thoughts. So verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. So we need to have God in our thoughts. We need to be conscious of the fact that God is the giver. The last one for the you and thank you is utter. Utter it. U-T-T-E-R. Utter it. And we talked about this somewhat already, but just thinking in the end here about what we need to do. We need to say it. Say thank you. Psalm 107. Expresses that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So the first verse is, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And we're going to read that psalm in closing here in just a minute or two. But we need to say it. Of course, we know that singing is a way to utter it. A beautiful way to utter our thanksgiving to God. And we did that this morning in the psalms we sang, and we do that regularly in our service. I'm so thankful for the wealth of songs we have that offer thanksgiving to God. And we could do more. We could have a regular harvest song service here at Ridgeview every fall. And we could even have an all-day Thanksgiving service. I know of a congregation that does that. They have their all-day meeting on Thanksgiving Day. I already mentioned about, you know, signs, gospel signs, but even just signs of that show and express our thanksgiving. It's part of uttering it. Things on our walls, in our houses, mottos and sayings. Give thanks unto the Lord, acknowledging that. Being thankful for the weather. You know, weather is a universal topic these days. And so let's take the opportunity to bring the Lord into that conversation and thank God for whatever the weather is that he gives us. And there's many other things that we could do in uttering the praise. In our prayer, in our prayers, thanking God for the little things, you know, the little things that are really big, like the sunrise and the our pleasant surroundings, you know, Missouri flora and fauna and the peace and quiet we enjoy. Thanking God for his mercy and his spiritual gifts. For the church, for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And let's, as we utter that, not only in our prayers, but also in our thank yous to each other. Again, that we touched on that a little bit before with the courteousness. What did the flowers that bloom by the way seem in their beauty each moment to say, thank you, thank you? That's a song we think of as a children's song. And the last verse says that what do the little folk sing in their play? Bring for the gifts on life's way. But these are the words I hear them say, thank you, thank you. Let's teach our children to say thank you. It's not a social grace that we do enough. And let's be faithful in teaching that. Let me turn now to Psalm 107. This is a beautiful passage of thanksgiving. Mentions a lot of points that we've looked at. Thank you. Thanksgiving, harvest, awareness, kneeling, yielding, offering, and uttering. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. God bless each of you, and may we be faithful in thanksgiving. Let's kneel for prayer.